Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
We've each been given by God one lifetime with limited resources. How you steward those resources is your gift back to God. And today we're going to discover how to steward life in light of eternal priorities. Stay with us next with Dr. Paul Chappell, a new series, Stewarding Life. Truly, life is a gift from God, and each of us has one lifetime to live with limited resources. So here's the question today. Are you spending or are you investing your life? God has given you a life and filled it with resources like time and health and finances and relationships. How you steward those resources will determine whether you successfully fill God's eternal purpose for your life. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this is Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope you'll join us for every step of this journey, stewarding life. You can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can listen to recent broadcasts, including all of the broadcasts for this series, Stewarding Life. And be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's new book that goes along with this series. It's entitled Stewarding Life. It's a couple hundred pages hardback, and it encapsulates all the great truths we're studying in one hardback book. You can find information about all of these resources at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's message is Stewarding the Gift of Family, Psalms chapter 127 and Deuteronomy 6. Here's Paul Chappell.
Heard about a lady named Donna. She was expecting her second child. She had a four-year-old boy, and she was telling everybody about having this baby. She was so excited. She went to a grocery store one day, and one of her friends was there, and the friend said, "Oh, that's great, Donna." And she looked at the four-year-old boy, and she said, "Are you excited about the little baby?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I've been listening to Mom and Daddy talk about it, too." And said, "I know what the names are going to be. If it's a girl, we're going to call the baby Christina. And if it's a boy, we're going to call it Quits." Some of you will get that tomorrow. Donna was a little exasperated, a little embarrassed. Sometimes our kids embarrass us. Sometimes they talk back. Sometimes they don't listen or do their chores. But God says in the midst of this, dads, don't provoke your children to wrath. Be a man filled with the Spirit and with moderation. Be a man who has the fullness of God and is witnessing for the Lord. You see, it is the duty of the family to follow the leadership of the father, but the father must manifest such character that this obedience is rendered from the heart of the child or even the wife. As the family sees this spiritual leadership, it's a blessing for them. And they want to support that because it is something that is of God. That's why it says in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." The word discouraged there means broken in spirit or disheartened. Now, I want to tell you something real quickly. This kind of teaching that Paul was giving to the Ephesians, this wasn't normal in the first century Roman Empire. You know, in the first century Roman Empire, the way they treated children was terrible. In fact, their way of treating children was somewhat barbaric. And I want you to know this, that while some people would say, well, Christianity just takes away your rights and Christianity just holds you down, the truth is really the opposite of that. wherever biblical Christianity has advanced, civility has also advanced. Wherever biblical, you know, someone says, well, what about the Crusades? I'm not talking about the Crusades, and this is not a Catholic church. Did you know that during the Crusades, not only Muslims were killed, but even Baptists and every other religion that got in the way, they had their lives taken. Baptist people have never killed to advance the faith. I'm not talking about that type of barbarism. What I'm saying is that whenever Christianity has been spread, you're going to find this: orphanages, hospitals, children being nurtured and cared for. You're going to find wives being lifted up and respected, and women being respected. But in the first century Roman culture, there was a law called Patria Potestas, which said that a father had virtual power over his children, and that he could literally cast them out of the house, he could sell them as slaves, he could even kill them and never be held accountable. This particular man in the Roman Senate, by the name of Seneca, he was a statesman at the time of Paul's living, and he wrote a letter to a man in Ephesus in which he said, "We slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge a knife into a sick cow, children born weak or deformed, we drown." Now that was what life was like in the Roman Empire. So Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit and saying, by the way, dads, don't get your kids angry. Don't discourage your kids. Love your kids. How many of you see the difference that Christianity brought? How many of you begin to see that when we grow, we're not going to be barbaric, cussing, half out of our mind drunk parents, but we're going to bring a civility into the home that is very, very different. And as I've studied the primary case and the primary causes for many children in California being placed in foster care, it's not because of divorce, it's not because of a lack of finance. Do you know the primary cause is because of a lack of interest on the part of the parents? Parents who say, thanks God, but no thanks. Let us pray for America, lest we become like the Roman Empire. May we recognize that children are the heritage of the Lord. Now, there's not a dad here that wants to discourage his kids. And so let me give you four quick ways to avoid provoking anger in the life of a child. The first way, if you want to avoid provoking anger in your child, is you do not want to model anger. You don't want to be physically abusive, of course, or even verbally abusive. I heard about a little boy, and he said, Mom, how come as we drive with Daddy, how come it's only the idiots that come out when Daddy drives? Sometimes dads, without really realizing it, we're always too negative and always too combative. D.L. Moody said, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he's a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know. Listen, we don't want to spend so much time just modeling anger, anger, anger. You think about so many men that are locked up today. They were abandoned by their fathers. They've known nothing but anger. That's all they're going to reproduce in their life is more anger. The second way that you can instill anger in a child is by overprotectiveness. I think there were some times in my raising up of our children where I got right up to the edge of that. And the reason we do that, parents, is we love our kids so much. And yet sometimes the message that it sends is that we don't trust them at all. And so we want to be careful with overprotectionism in our parenting. And you must realize that rules without relationships brings rebellion into the heart. Those times that I was maybe real close to this overprotection, I was also glad that I'd spent a lot of time developing a relationship so that in the hearts of our children, they knew that Mom and Dad loved them very much. The third way is by favoritism. In the Old Testament, there's the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac favored Esau, Rebekah favored Jacob, and it really caused great tension in the family. I've seen this over the years. Sometimes I've seen a family that maybe they had a couple kids earlier on, but they really wanted one more, or finally they were able to have a child a little bit later, and suddenly, almost as with idolatry, they worship that child. They take so many pictures, they take so much time with that child, they seemingly spend so much time with this child that they can neglect the others. It's unintentional, but there's a message that is sometimes sent when there's the perception of favoritism. And then fourthly, by passivity. You know, some parents are overly dominant, some parents are just very passive. They're not involved, they never discipline, they never nurture, they don't really spend time, they don't set boundaries. So Paul is saying, look, love your kids. Don't provoke them to anger. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11 speaks about this philosophy. It says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. And so here we see a testimony of moderation, that we are to not provoke the children. But notice, secondly, there was to be a testimony of admonition. Admonition. Come back to the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Read the rest of it with me. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Say that again. But bring them up. Now, dads, this is a command. God says, I want you to bring them up. I want you to bring them up. First, in the nurture of the Lord. Susanna Wesley had 17 children in England back in the 1800s and late 1700s. Susanna Wesley raised two young sons, John and Charles, who literally shook both Great Britain and America with great revival spiritually. John Wesley wrote in his journal, the parent who studies to subdue the self-will in his child works together with God in renewing and saving the soul. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes religion impractical, salvation unattainable, and does all that is in him to damn his child's soul and body forever. In other words, dads, at some point, someone's going to talk to your child about the Heavenly Father. And sometimes their perception of this Heavenly Father is based on their perception of their earthly father. And we don't want to do anything to discourage them from wanting a Heavenly Father. Now, let me quickly say, if you were abused by your earthly father, if you were abandoned by your earthly father, there is a Heavenly Father that truly loves you, and He will never leave you and never forsake you. So don't use your earthly paradigm to reject a relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. But God says, I want you to nurture these children. Secondly, He says, I want you to admonish these children. Admonishment has the positive, which is the instruction, and the negative, which is correcting them when they do wrong. So God says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up with nurture, the disciplines of life, with admonition, the teaching of what is right and what is wrong in life. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight into thy soul. Now, some of you are new at all this. Let me give you a practical pointer, okay? And jot this down maybe at the side. Say, how do I admonish a child when I'm just learning the faith myself? Some of you are just learning how to love God with your own heart, soul, and mind. So how can you admonish your children? Here's a little tip. A proverb a day. Say that with me. There's a book in the Bible called Proverbs. There's 31 chapters, one per day. If your kids are younger, just take a couple verses a day. Older, take the whole chapter. There is more family counsel in Proverbs than you can possibly imagine. There's so much admonishment, it will, I guarantee, if you'll take a few minutes a day and read a few verses from Proverbs, if you'll do that for 1 month, I give you this guarantee, it will change your family. I promise you, if you'll take a few minutes every day in the Proverbs, because the Bible says in Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Now the average family, the average parent is spending about 12 minutes a day talking to their children. And I think a lot of us probably have been guilty of that. So it's going to take some intentional time to sit down and just talk about the Lord and talk about what's going on in our lives spiritually. That's the testimony that God wants parents to have. So He says, if you're going to steward these children, number one, I want you to teach them what I have to say in the Scriptures. Number two, I want you to give them a testimony, not of anger, but of loving admonition. And number three, He says, and most importantly, I want you to give the children the truth concerning salvation. The truth of salvation. Everybody needs to know. Now someone says, well, Pastor Chapel, we came here last week and you talked about salvation last week. I've got good news for you. We talk about it some way every week. Because this is the most important part of our faith, is what Jesus did for us. But let's see how it intertwines with raising a family today. Notice this, if you would, in your notes or turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we prepare to close this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. How do you help a child to know about Jesus? This is very, very important. Now, we're going to read about a young man named Timothy who did not have a Christian father, just like some of you are a single mom with an unsaved husband, or a single dad with an unsaved wife. Timothy's mom and grandmother believed on Jesus, but his father didn't. Yet look what the Bible says about him, 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So if our children are going to learn about salvation, they must, letter A, have a foundation in the scriptures. Timothy had learned the scriptures from a child, and they had pointed him to Jesus Christ. Predominantly, his learning would have been from the Old Testament scriptures, showing him a need for the Savior. We need a foundation in the scriptures. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Now, those of us whose kids have been raised, we would talk to every one of you with kids at home, and we would say this: it's going to go by so fast, and before you know it, you're going to be saying bye-bye to those kids. How many parents in here, your kids are raised? You'd agree with that. It goes by so fast. We've got to do everything we can do while we have them to make sure that they know the Lord. And that's going to start by letting them know the scriptures at home and letting them get into Sunday school and letting them grow in the understanding of God and His Word. Last Friday, I got a letter from a young man that graduated from our high school here at Lancaster Baptist High School last year. And his name is Trent Kelly. He's a student this year at West Texas A&M University. And as I read this letter, it just thrilled my heart. I want you to hear it this morning, a portion of it. Dear Pastor, my classes are going great, and I'm really loving mechanical engineering and most of my teachers. I have been very busy with classes, homework, sports, my relationship with the Lord. I'm learning how to manage my time and make sure that I keep God first in all. In my political science class, I've been challenged about my beliefs on moral issues by a very liberal teacher. I'm so thankful for my Christian school and especially Mrs. Demersian's government class, which helped me to be able to stand up for my moral beliefs. I'm thankful that I was taught by my parents and Christian teachers who taught me not only what the Bible says, but why I believe it. Although sometimes it seemed tedious, now I have been able to take many things and I have been able to apply them in my life. Thank you for being my pastor. Thank you for starting Lancaster Baptist Church. I honestly do not know where I would be had you not followed God's will. I made a decision this past summer at teen camp, not just to be different because that's the way I am, but to be different on purpose and to reflect Christ and be a witness for Him. Please pray for me as I'm here in Texas. Pray that I would witness to my roommate and to others. Now, what thrilled me about that letter is here's a young man that got the foundation laid. Here's a young man who said, I understood the truths of the Word of God, and I made those truths, I applied them to my heart. Mom and Dad, your kids are going to be somewhere soon. And I guarantee, especially if they're in a secular university, somebody's going to try to shake that faith and get them to question the Bible and get them to believe in evolution. It's only as we lay the right foundation that they'll be able to stand. They need a foundation in the Scriptures. Secondly, as they have a foundation in the Scriptures, we can show them a future in heaven. We can show them a future in heaven. Now, notice again what it says there in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3:15 said this, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So my friend, it is the Bible that points us to our need for salvation. The Bible shows us that we are all sinners. The Bible shows us that Jesus died for our sin. We don't know that without the Bible. James chapter 1 and verse 18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. The way we are born spiritually is by hearing the truth of the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we cannot put faith in Jesus until someone shows us from the word of God. And a child that's being raised in the scriptures is going to realize he is a sinner. Jesus was the Son of God who shed His blood. Jesus' blood can cover our sin. And so we lay the foundation so that they can make their own decision someday to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is because of the Scriptures that we hear this truth. It is because of the Savior that we can be saved. In fact, look at that in 2 Timothy 3:15 as we close this morning. It says, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. What does the next phrase say? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Would you say that with me? Through
faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
So salvation is not through church membership. Salvation is not through baptistry waters. Salvation is through faith, putting our trust in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You don't save yourself. It's the gift of God. And we're saved because of God's gift through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, my friend, the greatest decision of life is to receive that gift of salvation that Jesus so wonderfully paid for. Now, as I said a moment ago, we have been blessed with four children, and they're all in their 20s now. They're all married. And we appreciate your prayers, daily prayers for our family as we pray for you. And when I think about our kids, we did everything we could, just like you, to try to do the best we could for them. Sometimes that was in teaching and mentoring and disciplining. Sometimes it was buying them a pair of sneakers for basketball or helping them with their first car or learning how to drive. Our children were privileged to graduate from Lancaster Baptist High School and West Coast Baptist College. We tried to help them in every way to have the very best that they could possibly have. But I want you to know something today. When I think about our children, when I think about all that I tried to do in the years of parenting them, the most important single thing I ever did for my children was to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know something this morning as we close. I want you to know, as a personal testimony, that if God called me home today, and if all I would have ever done was see my children accept Christ as Savior, it would be worth it all. If I would have never helped them have a pair of sneakers or a car or a college education, just helping them to know who God is, who Jesus is, and how much He loved them. I remember when our daughter Danielle was saved in our apartment on Spearman Avenue. I remember leading my son Larry to Christ on 8th Street East. I remember leading my son Matthew to Christ up in Flagstaff, Arizona on a family vacation. I remember Christine being saved at the old church downtown. Those memories are far greater than any memories I could ever think about for my family. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's the best decision you could ever make. And if you're just getting started at this, why don't you start praying that your children would receive Christ as their Savior? Because folks, in my estimation, if our families aren't rooted in the Scriptures, and if we don't know the Savior, we're not going to be able to withstand the fiery trials of the devil in this world today. He's throwing too many darts at our children. There's too many things coming their way. We've got to do our very best to steward our families. And the best way you can do that is to make sure that they know Jesus in their heart. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we just want to pause right now and thank you. We want to thank you for loving us and dying on the cross for our sins. And we want to thank you for our children. And we want to thank you for our families. And I want to pray for families today that are hurting, families that have burdens. I want to pray for the new parents that they would get a hold of what I preached. For the parents with teenagers whose maybe their kids are giving them some trouble. I pray for grandparents, Lord, sometimes just trying to figure out how to be a blessing to those grandkids. Father, would you meet needs today? Would you turn some men in this room into great dads? Some moms who've done their best, but would you help them to be better moms? And Lord, would you help some children to have a better life and mostly to have eternal life because of today?
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're presently studying a series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and hear recent broadcasts when you visit dailyintheword.org. Be sure to also consider subscribing to our daily devotional and the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word, take it with you on your computer or phone, and listen to it at your convenience. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.